Welcome to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Decker. This podcast is dedicated to providing my books in full, unabridged audio format. Look for new episodes every Tuesday. Now, on with the show. War of the Fathers by Dan Decker. Previously on War of the Fathers.
I appreciate your help, Adar said. We should allow them to escort you back to Rarban. You were already planning to return anyway. Terra and his men can vouch for your heritage. The woman looked relieved to see them and started towards them, but stopped when Terra and his men entered the room. There were astonished looks exchanged by everybody but Adar, who was frowning at the newcomers. Melia, take me, Terra spoke first, addressing the woman. Zarda, what are you doing here?
Uncle Terra, Zarda said. I could ask you the same thing.
It seems that you have just as many supporters as you always did, Terra gritted his teeth. Never mind the fact that you're wanted for murder. Do I need to remind you all that he was stripped of his title and there is a standing death order on his head, an order that any redeem is duty-bound to fulfill?
Chapter 12. Jorad gazed at Sore from across the table where they sat in the common room of the boarding house. They had been talking quietly for nearly half an hour. The others had disappeared, and he had been trying to make use of the time to convince Sore to leave Neberon, but she had been intent on asking him questions about Rarban instead. She was fascinated with Zarda, and had focused on the female redeem for some time. They had both fallen silent, and he had been thinking of new ways to approach the point he wanted to make to her. He inhaled, and caught an aroma of something cooking in the nearby kitchen. He was not sure what Hari was cooking up, but it smelled delicious, and he was ravenous. He hadn't eaten much today, and he was feeling a little bit lightheaded. If he did not eat something before they left tonight, he would regret it. They had a long road ahead of them, and he did not want to start on an empty stomach. He made a mental note to make sure to get some of Hari's food. It would be at least 2 weeks before he would have another opportunity to eat a decent meal. The evening was still warm, but that would not last long. He could see gray clouds through the windows and wondered if it would rain. As he watched, the sun broke through the clouded skyline and shone between the mountains of the Pinta Peaks. It was already close to the horizon. Night was coming fast. Where had his last day in Neberon gone? He sighed. There was too much on his mind at the moment to think properly. There were things he did not understand, and he wished for a moment alone with Adar to try to dig out more details about the death of his mother, but so far had not been able to make that happen. There was a lot he did not know, and he wondered what other surprises lay in wait for him. He had never known that his mother had been found with another man. It bothered him that Adar had neglected to mention this particular detail. He could understand why Adar had not brought it up, but it had happened years ago, and it would have been nice to hear it from Adar. For his part, Adar had been adamant that Nellian was faithful to him. He'd even gone so far as to imply that Terra had been the one to set him up. If Adar suspected that, why was he willing to make a truce with Terra? It grated on Jorad that Adar had been planning this day for years, making arrangements, and all the while counting on Jorad to be ready and willing. When he went to Rarban, could he avoid becoming his father's pawn? He shook his head and pushed the thoughts away. These thoughts were getting him nowhere. Their original plan to leave today was still in place as far as he knew. Perhaps once they got out on the road, Jorad would find some time to get Adar to talk. Adar still had not returned, and Jorad wondered if Terra and he had found somewhere to continue their fight. Perhaps that would not be a bad thing. Jorad did not like Terra, and did not relish the thought of making the trip back to Rarban with those that had tried to kill his father. He turned his attention back to Sore. She was more relaxed than before, which meant that she did not believe him that the Hunwe had returned. The Hunwe were scouting Neberon out for a reason, and he did not know how long they had, but if he could get her away tonight, he would feel better about leaving. It is not safe here, Jorad said. Whether you come with me or not, you need to leave. Convince Bark and Hera to go to the mountains. Take enough provisions to last for several months, maybe longer. Bark's store would have more than enough supplies for them, and he had horses to carry everything. They could get away tonight if they hurried. Sore shook her head. The mountains? My father wouldn't last a week. Besides, how do you want me to convince them? Tell them you want to see the countryside, Jorad said. The door to the inn opened, and Jorad turned, expecting to see Adar and Karn. Instead, he saw Thon and several of the town guard. Arrow was not with them, so he turned his attention back to Sore.
What if we come with you?
Soray asked. Her question surprised Jorad. Did she really think she could convince her parents? Had she decided to believe him about the Hunway? No, that wasn't it. The look in her eyes told him that she was thinking about Rarban. The guards approached their table, and Jorad looked up into Thon's face and could tell that there was going to be trouble. Thon's eyes were bloodshot, and his lips drawn back, as if he intended to bite somebody. He still wore his big sword on his back, and there were 6 other guards with him. Jorad recognized all of them, but did not know any of their names. He all of a sudden got a very bad feeling. Had Arrow found the other wanted poster? The one that resembled Jorad a little bit more? Jorad took several deep breaths to calm his anger. It did not matter what Arrow had done. Jorad was not going to take it out on these guards. Thon was a good man, and he was just doing his job. Thon placed his hands on the table and leaned down. "You're coming with us," he said. "We should have listened to Arrow." "What did Arrow say now?" Soray asked. "Braum is dead," Thon said. That took Jorad by surprise. Who was Braum? Thon's face contorted as he continued to speak. He was stabbed 12 times. "Take him," he motioned to the other guards who grabbed Jorad from his chair, one of whom snatched away Jorad's sword. Jorad allowed it to happen without a fight. It would only make matters worse if he hurt the guards. Arrow was probably hoping Jorad would do just that. It would not matter if it came out that somebody else was this Braum fellow's murderer, if Jorad cut up half the guard when they tried to take him into custody. "I have not killed anybody," Jorad said. He did not know who this Braum fellow was, but Arrow's jealousy was insane if he was trying to pin this man's murder on Jorad. Perhaps it was Arrow who had been the one that killed Braum. Jorad saw the swing coming and tightened the muscles in his abdomen. Thon's punch took Jorad in the stomach. "Melia!" His arm was like a battering ram. Soray yelped as Jorad doubled over, gasping for breath. The guards continued to hold him, though Jorad saw looks of disapproval on several of their faces. Whether it was aimed at Thon or him, Jorad did not know. Thon hit Jorad in the head and he saw stars. It was quickly followed by another to his gut again. Jorad struggled to breathe and felt like he was about to pass out. After several painful seconds, he was on the cusp of panicking when he managed to get some air into his lungs. He breathed again. It felt like everything else in the world was pushed away as he struggled for another breath. Nothing mattered more than being able to suck in another lungful of air. "That's enough," one of the other guards said. "Braum was a friend. And a good man," Thon said. "You're not getting away with this." "I didn't even know Braum," Jorad said. "Why would I kill him?" Jorad continued gasping. It took some effort, but he managed to straighten out. The hunger he'd been feeling earlier had been replaced with nausea, and his head hurt as if he had been hit with a hammer. Several of the guards looked uncertain about Thon's behavior, but none of them looked ready to interfere. Jorad thought of his daggers under his coat and in his boots. If Thon kept this up, Jorad would be forced to protect himself. He was certain he would be able to take out Thon, but 6 other men posed a problem he could not handle alone, and unfortunately there wasn't anybody else in the room with him other than Soray. She came into view, and the look of concern and anger she wore weakened his resolve to attack. She might end up hurt if he retaliated. "You pretended to find his body," Thon said. "How stupid do you think we are?" Jorad had forgotten about the corpse they'd found while on patrol. Adar must have reported it. It was a safe bet that this was who Thon was referring to. "Think about this," Jorad said. "If I killed him, why would we report his murder?" Soray tried to step towards Jorad, but a guard pushed her back and caused her to trip on a chair leg. "Leave her alone," Jorad said as she fell to the ground. He tried to free himself from the guards, but they held him tightly. Thon had appeared to be looking for an excuse, and this was it. He grabbed Jorad away from the other guards and slammed him into a wall, cracking his head and blurring his vision. When Jorad could see again, he noticed that the common room, which had been almost empty before, had begun to fill with people. He struggled to free himself from Thon's grasp. Several of the other guards latched onto him as well, and the anger that Jorad had been trying to keep at bay was finally released. As Jorad gasped, he managed to wrench his arm free and grabbed for a dagger. He hoped Soray would not get hurt, but he could not let Thon kill him. Before he could grasp it, his arm was once again secured by one of the guards. Jorad tried to knee Thon in the groin, but missed and hit his leg. It only served to make the man angrier. Thon slammed a ham-sized fist into Jorad's chest. "Barn," Thon said to the guard that had pushed Soray. "Help her up." Through his blurred vision, Jorad saw the guard who Thon had called Barn hold a hand out to Soray, but she sneered and stood without his help. There was a tense moment when Jorad could tell that Soray was thinking of doing something to Barn, but it passed, and she turned away. Jorad took a deep breath and tried to calm down. Kneeing Thon in the groin had been foolish. The next time he attacked, it would have to be a killing blow. That meant he had to get to a dagger and attack immediately if he was to have any chance of success. Thon was not going to let him leave this room alive. Jorad could see it in his eyes. "Thon," Annie screeched. "Has Kor possessed you?" Annie must have just entered the room, but Jorad had not seen it happen. "Get out of my house, now." She was breathing heavily, her apron strained under each breath. She waved a large wooden spoon at Thon. "Get out." "Jorad murdered Brom," Thon said, "and he's resisting arrest." "He was complying," Soray said, "until you started beating him." Soray stepped towards Thon. She looked ready to slap him. "Are you cotton-brained?" Annie asked. "Brom was always fooling around with other men's women. Why don't you look to them?" Thon spoke through clenched teeth. "Multiple people saw Jorad arguing with Brom last night near the place where his body was found." "Is Arrow your main witness?" Jorad asked, hoping to distract Thon by continuing the conversation. Thon's glare was answer enough. The guard holding Jorad's left arm looked the weakest. If Jorad freed it, he could grab the dagger he kept on his right side. "I was with Adar last night," Jorad said. "Did Arrow mention anything about him?" Jorad eyed the guard, who looked uneasy holding his sword, but the man was too far away. He put the sword out of his mind. His best hope was one of his daggers. Thon growled, "You'll have to do better than that." Jorad noticed Zarda and Liron enter the room as the insanity of the last couple of days came crashing down onto him. His inside swirled in turmoil, and he found himself opening and closing his hand. As his anger spiked, he almost reached for his dagger prematurely. His head hurt, and he was still having trouble breathing. He took another breath, trying to calm down. His timing would have to be right for this to work. He would only have one shot. Jorad stared into the eyes of Thon. His normally friendly face was pulled back into a scowl, and his eyes were determined. Would Liron and Zarda join the fight when Jorad attacked? He closed his eyes, took a breath, and released it again. This had all happened because of Arrow, the bitter, jealous fool. "Arrow is manipulating you," Jorad said, opening his eyes. "Brom." "Don't you dare utter his name," Thon said, putting his hands around Jorad's neck. From the corner of his eye, Jorad saw Zarda pull a dagger out and hold it to her side as she approached. Liron was right behind her. They both wore the look of people headed into battle. Jorad was grateful for their presence. The guards would not be expecting them, so they may have a chance at overcoming all of them. "Leave him alone," Soray screamed. Thon continued to squeeze. Jorad gasped as he struggled. All thought of his plan to attack pushed out of his mind by his desire to breathe. His head was starting to spin. It would not be long now before he blacked out. Annie screamed at the other guards, "You can't let Thon kill him!" "Thon, let go!" Jorad recognized Barn through his fading vision. "Once you've calmed down, you'll see I'm right." "I won't regret this," Thon said. Annie came up, stood right beside Thon, and touched his shoulder. "This is wrong." Zarda was only a foot away from Thon now, but she waited. Jorad tried to speak. He wanted to urge her to attack, but all that came out was a groan. Thon let go, snarling as he did. Barn and the others dragged Jorad to the door as he tried to breathe. He had never before realized how much breathing meant to him, and it was something he was not going to take for granted again. He took breath after breath. The more air he got into his lungs, the hotter his temper became. Thon was not any calmer either. Several of the guards were standing at his side, and one placed a hand on Thon's arm. Thon did not take his eyes off Jorad as he swatted the man's hand away. Thon would come at him again. Jorad did not have any doubt. The attack had been delayed, but it had not been stopped. Jorad's eyes locked onto Soray. Her eyes were red, and her face was covered with worry. Zarda and Liron stood at her side. He had to get Soray out of Neberon, and he could not let his anger get in the way of that. He focused on breathing. When Thon came at him again, Thon would come at a time when he would be certain to win. Jorad would have to be ready. That meant watching and waiting. That meant letting logic take control again.
Who is going to pay for the damage? Annie demanded. Barn avoided Annie's glare as he took in the room and muttered, It wasn't supposed to be like this. Sorry. He nodded and motioned towards the door. The mayor will hear about this, Annie said. Jorad, Sori began. Jorad cut her off. Tell Adar. As the guards led Jorad out the door, he resisted the urge to feel his face, which felt as if it was a bloody pulp, or rub his neck, which he was sure had imprints from Thon's hands. Jorad swallowed. For a moment there, he had been wondering if he would ever be able to swallow again. The sun was almost down, and he checked the sky, hoping that the Hunwe would not choose tonight to come. It was still cloudy, and, thank the gods, he did not see any ships.
That's it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for another installment of the Dan Decker Books Podcast. One last thing before you go. Sign up for my newsletter at dandeckerbooks.com, and you will receive a free ebook. The text, audio, and music for this show are all copyrighted by Dan Decker, all rights reserved. This podcast is published by Xander Revolutions LC.